Sweet the name of Jesus sounds, and all believers hear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. And drives away his fear. I pray that'll be the case this morning as we hear the gospel, that it will soothe our sorrows, heal our wounds, and drive away our fears. That we will rest in what Jesus has done for us and his finished work, and the good news that he has provided for us in the salvation we have in Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to read to you from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 8. The account of Philip and the eunuch is on my mind. Pray that the Lord would just bless us as we look at it together. I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to you, but it's always amazing to me the depth that is in the Word of God, and how that a very familiar passage can oftentimes open up to you and allow you to see things that, though you've read it over and even heard it preached many a time, the Lord can allow us to grow in our understanding and our appreciation for what he has done. It also tells us about how the Lord is dealing with us as we read his word and read the experiences of God's children in the word of God. We're made to recognize that every day in our life, though sometimes we don't see it and understand it, God's dealing with us each and every day. That he has worked with us individually and personally. That this occasion that occurred here in the Acts of the Apostles, that seems you can see God's hand in all of it. How that God moved in the life of Philip, and how that God moved in the life of the Ethiopian eunuch, and how that God brought them together there on a place that was considered desert and an uninhabited place. As they traveled along the road, seems like so happenstance, if it might have just occurred that they happened to run into each other that way. And yet we see from the scripture here that all of this was coordinated and moved. They were moved by the power and the work of Almighty God. What's important for us to understand is that's not only true for Philip and for the eunuch, but it's true for you and me. That the Lord moves in our lives. The Lord leads us. That the Lord's guiding us. That though you feel like I'm here today, and of course, I don't mean by that that every action and every behavior that we do is predestinated of God that we would do it, but that God is in absolute control, and that he is leading and he's guiding us as his children here in this world. And today, we're here not by accident, not by chance, but by the work of Almighty God in our hearts. He's caused us to gather together here today. I believe he's in the matter when it comes to the preaching of where we go in the Word of God. I believe he's in the matter when we speak to God's little children. And he knows what you stand in need of this morning. He knows what you need to hear. He knows just every need of everyone that's gathered here today, and he knows my great need of him. And so it gives me comfort to know the Lord's in the matter. I hope that gives you comfort to know that the Lord's in the matter, that it's not just, you're not just dependent on me. You wouldn't want to be just dependent on me, and I'm not dependent just on you. You know, we're thankful for each other, we're thankful for our fellowship, but we look beyond each other. We're looking to the Lord. We're looking to the Lord that led Philip. We're looking to the Lord that led the eunuch. We're looking to the Lord that was there when they had that wonderful occasion in the middle of an uninhabited place called a desert, from the way of Jerusalem down to Gaza, he was to travel in that way. And as they went on their course, as he was traveling in that direction, based on the angel and his testimony to Philip and what the angel told Philip to do, Philip did that. And as he was traveling that way, we have the Ethiopian eunuch traveling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, which is by chariot a long trip. You know, I tried to find out the exact mileage, and there was of course some discrepancy about that, but it seemed to be about 1,000 to 1,500 miles. Now that's a trip to go to church. You know, so old Baptists have been told, y'all travel a long ways to go to church. Well, it's not like the Ethiopian eunuch traveled a whole lot farther. I mean, 1,000, maybe 1,500 miles to go. And he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, his worship would have been limited, because as a eunuch, he had limitations on where he could go in the house of God and in the fellowship under the old law covenant, because of the afflictions of his body, because of the case of being a eunuch. There was, because of that condition, he was not allowed in the congregation. And whatever part of that, there were some limitations that he had, even in that worship. And yet, he longed to go to Jerusalem to worship. Now, he could have gone to a place like Mars Hill, where there were all kinds of gods being worshipped. There were all kinds of things, but he didn't go there. He went to the place where the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob was being worshipped. The true and living God, the one and only God. And he went there with a desire in his heart to worship God. And as he traveled, he was not only did he just travel, but he's reading scripture as he's traveling. Well, let's read the text. It's a beautiful account of how the Lord moved in the life of an individual that was chosen, I believe, by Almighty God even before the foundation of the world. That God foreknew him and God predestinated him to be conformed to the image of his Son, and God effectually called him. And when Jesus died on the cross, he justified him. And when the morning of the resurrection comes, there's going to be a resurrection of the body of eunuch and the body of Philip and the body of every one of God's little children that have already died. And we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And because of all that, this little brother made this statement, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Reading the text, verse 26. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Which really means an uninhabited place. It means a place where there's no one else around. They're traveling away from the crowds, away from the people. And the angel of the Lord sends Philip that direction. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture was read, which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That's through the 40th verse of Acts chapter 8. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Philip didn't just make a plan and decide where to go and what to do. Philip didn't call himself to the ministry. Philip didn't give himself a gift. Philip didn't just choose to go into the preaching business and go about it that way. Philip didn't just go anywhere he wanted to. Philip followed the direction that came from the Lord. Philip was a called man. We read about that as Philip was one of those deacons that was set apart. One of them was, this is Philip the evangelist, not Philip the apostle, but the Philip, he was. We read about that earlier in the Acts chapter 6, and in Acts chapter 8, we can read about it there. Philip was very active in Samaria, in the city of Samaria, and in verse 5 of Acts 8 it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave ear, heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. That sounded like a good place to stay to me, didn't you? I mean, the Lord's blessing the preaching, the people are hearing the preaching, the signs of the Holy Spirit that followed those early apostles and those early teachers of the gospel were there. God was confirming the word. Some would say, why aren't those signs here today? Well, we've got a better testament. We've got a more sure word of prophecy. We have those signs given to us in the word of God that confirmed that what we have written in God's word is the truth. The reasons they had those signs following them of healing and casting out of devils and those kinds of things that the apostles had was that the Bible, the New Testament, had not been written, had not been given to us, and now that it's been given to us, those signs came and confirmed that the things that the apostles were teaching were absolutely so. And because it's been confirmed, and because we have the book, we no longer need those signs. Aren't you glad of that? We no longer need those signs which were good when we were children. But now that we've grown and have we been given this word of God in a more sure word of prophecy, when it comes time to preach, where does the preacher go? He doesn't say, okay, I've said something that's the truth. Now watch me do a magic trick or some other thing and you can see from those signs that I have that I am really telling you the truth. No, he says, you look right here. It's in God's word. It's what it says in God's word. And we use the word of God. We're told today to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we're told that the word is that which truly furnishes us unto all good works. And I'm thankful today we have the Bible that we can go to. That's why we're to preach the word. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. That means he moved upon Philip. And he told Philip. And he guided Philip. Y'all believe in angels? The Bible surely teaches there are created beings that are made by Almighty God that are watching over God's children. Over in the book of Hebrews, we read about them. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, he tells us in verse 14 about the angels. He says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And so the Lord has that host, that heavenly host, I believe that are many times walking among us, here in this world at the direction of the Lord. And oftentimes we may see them as strangers and someone else, but yet they're the Lord. They're the Lord's messengers. The Lord's watching over us. The Lord's taking care of us. And who is it for? They're not to be worshipped. We're not to worship them. But we're to understand they are sent by Almighty God for the protection of His children. And it's not because God couldn't do it. It's because God chose to do it this way. He blessed the angels to have that position to watch over the heirs of salvation. And that is God's chosen people. God's children are special to Him. And He has assigned the angels the duty and the responsibility to send. And He sends them forth in a way of protecting them. You and I have no idea how many times one may have protected us along the way. We don't have any clue about it. I know this. I've had some experiences where I absolutely know the Lord's hand was upon me and the situation I was in and protected me. For if it had not been for His protecting hand, whether it was by the hand of an angel or by His own mighty power, how He has watched over me. Has He not watched over you and taken care of you? The Lord's angels encampeth round about them that fear Him. We believe that. The angel of the Lord is with us, I believe, here today. And of course, the chief angel, the archangel, the chief messenger, and the one that we need most is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that when the voice of the archangel is heard and the trump of God, I believe it's going to be the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that is heard when the Lord comes again. But here the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. He moved him in his heart and he said, "Arise and go." Very important words. He said, "Arise and go." Look at verse 27. "And he arose and went." That's good language there. What did he say? He said, "Arise and go." And Philip, maybe if it had been me, and I'm thinking, okay, Samaria is looking like pretty good ground. I'm preaching here. The people are hearing my preaching. The Lord is blessing with signs that are following. There's joy. There's a lot of rest. There's some peace here. And the angel comes and says to him, "Arise and go." And then he tells him, hey, he's going to a place that's uninhabited, that's a place that sounds like desert. Doesn't sound like the most comfortable trip to me. He says, "Arise and go unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza," which is desert. And Philip doesn't, we don't read in the scripture where Philip says, "Lord, are you sure about this? Are you sure this is where you want me to go? Things are looking really good here, Lord. Is this where you want me to go?" No, he simply did what the Lord commanded him to do. He arose and went. That passage of scripture, as I was looking at it last night, thinking about it, reminded me of a text. And I tried to find it in the Bible, and it was there in Psalm 32 and verse 8. I'd like to call your attention to it. Psalm 32 and verse 8. "Because the Lord instructed Philip." Somebody say, well, that was Philip, and the Lord instructs him. The Lord dealt with Philip, and he instructed him. But what about me? Does the Lord instruct you? Does the Lord tell you and I what to do? Does the Lord give us instruction about how to live? Is the Lord operating in our lives like He did in the life of Philip? Is the Lord operating in our lives like He did in the life of the eunuch? And the Bible will tell us very clearly that absolutely He is. If you read in Psalm 32 and verse 8, here's what the Lord says. He says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." Does that sound pretty plain to you? In other words, the Lord said, "I'm going to teach you. I'm going to instruct you." Sometimes we say, "I just don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go." And it's true, we don't know what to do. You're very smart if you understand you don't know what to do and which direction to go. As a matter of fact, that's the one who begs God for wisdom. "Lord, guide me in Thy way. Lord, lead me in the place I ought to go. Lord, bless me as I stand before the children of God as a minister to guide me to the place I'm to go and the words I'm supposed to say. Lord, bless me as I walk in my life. Bless me to say the right thing to my kids, to my grandchildren." Because when I speak without the direction of the Lord, I'm going to tell you, Gary messes up. And I want you to know you do too. You don't know how to talk to your wife. You don't know how to talk to your husband. You don't know how to talk to your mother, your father. You don't know how to talk to your children. You don't know how to act on the job. You don't know in and of yourself what you're supposed to do. And you and I need His direction and instruction. Y'all believe that today? Here's the good news. He's a great instructor. He speaks plain. He speaks clear. But sometimes He'll tell you to go to the desert. Sometimes He'll tell you to go the way that doesn't seem like the right way, like the right thing. Sometimes you'll feel like, Lord, I think you made a mistake. I can't do this. I can't do what you're calling me to do. I can't be like you would have me to be. I'm a noose. I'm not cut that way. I think this way. I act this way. And the problem is, I'm a noose. What's that mean? That means I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I'm undone and I don't know what's best for me. And when I lean on my flesh, just like I'm a nooch, you are whatever your last name is or whatever your bloodline is. It's a polluted bloodline. It runs right back to Adam. We are Adam and Adam multiplied. We are sinners by nature and by practice. And we would have remained that and never got out of that if God had not loved us and done for us that which we could not do for ourselves. But now that we've been called, now that we've been separated by the power of God and made alive, we have a duty and a responsibility to walk in life His way. Not our way, not by our own desires, but the way that He would lead us. He said in verse 8 of Psalm 32, He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We sing that hymn, He will guide me with His eye. You know why I like that hymn? Because it comes right from the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the hymns we sing ought to come from the Word of God. If they don't come from the Word of God and they're not supported by the Word of God, we ought not sing them. But those that are, let us lift up our voices and give praise and honor and glory to the Lord, because He will guide us with His eye. And then in verse 9, get this one. This fits for me. He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule. You know, sometimes God's little children, they're little lambs and they're little sheep, but they act like horses and mules. Well, that means if the horse and the mule wants to go this way when God says go that way. Wants to go. The mule I remember as a young man, I couldn't do it now, but I remember they used to have those... They used to have those softball. You'd have a ball game where you'd ride a mule. I can't remember what they called it, but you'd have to go. You'd run down to first base, get on the mule, and then have to ride the mule, or you'd hit the ball and you'd have to. I remember dragging a little mule one time as a big fella. That little mule had a hard day because first of all he didn't want me on his back because I was a big boy. And so it ended up, I'd hit the ball and then grab the mule and drag him down to first base. And the mule just wanted to do what the mule wanted to do. Now what's that got to do with anything? Sometimes we as God's children don't want to follow what the Lord would have us to do. You know what the Lord will do when we don't do that? He'll chasten you. Because He loves you enough to chasten you. He'll love you enough to correct you. He'll love you enough to pull you back. He'll chasten you with His rod and with His staff. He'll correct you. He'll guide you. And what the Scripture here is telling us is that we do not have to be like the horse and like the mule. He says, be ye not as the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And then He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Brethren, let's trust in the Lord today. Let's lean upon Him. Let's remember He's going to guide you. Got a lot in front of you. This little sister is walking out by faith, trusting the Lord. And she's got a lot in front of her. And the old devil's just waiting to confront her at every turn, to have her mess up. And not only her. Listen, it's all of us. I'm telling you, every day you have a battle. And yet, here's the good news. You've been given armor to wear into the battle that'll hold up. You have the shield of faith You have the hope of salvation. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have the gospel to clothe to wear on your feet. You have the whole armor of God. You have your loins girt about with the truth. Yeah, you have all that you need to fight the battle in this world. But the old devil would like to rob you of the joy and the peace and the rest that's found in just trusting in him and following in the way he would have you to go. You see, Philip was led of the Lord. And he said, when he said, go to Gaza, which is desert, Philip just got up and went. That's what we as God. He wasn't like the mule and he wasn't like the horse. He arose and went. And behold, I like that. Just so happened. No, it didn't say, and it just so happened. No, the Lord had a plan. The Lord had a purpose. The Lord was carrying out his plan and his purpose. There was a little brother coming, had gone to Jerusalem for to worship. And he had gone under the law. And he did not know all about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not have an understanding. But he chose evidence here that something had already taken place. Why did he go to Jerusalem to worship? Why didn't he just put up an altar or a tree if he just wanted to be religious and bow down to it? Because there was the God of Israel that had moved in his heart and allowed him to know that he was real. And he desired to worship him. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and he come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Somebody might say he just happened to have the scroll, and he didn't have a Bible like we have in front of us now. He had a scroll, a parchment, and he was reading from that. Riding along in the chariot, reading his scripture. Oh, that's a good place to be. Some people said that Philip was sent to him to get him saved. I said to you, the Lord had already worked a grace in his heart. The Lord had already given him a hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord had already born him again of the Spirit. We see evidences of that because he's gone to Jerusalem, not just to show up and to make an appearance, but he went to worship the God of heaven. He went to worship the true and living God. That's who was worshipped at Jerusalem. No, they didn't have the clear understanding how they came in the gospel message. And the Lord saw fit to send that to him by the way of a preacher. And that preacher did bring about a salvation for him. But it wasn't a salvation of how to get to heaven and immortal glory. It was a salvation that allowed him, a deliverance that allowed him to see the truth of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And he used the Old Testament to teach that. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And so here the Spirit is still operating. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do. You know what you do when you don't know what to do? Stand still. Just wait. And then you wait patiently on the Lord. And then the Lord will open up the way that you're to go. Brethren, I believe we need to slow down, don't you? Sometimes we run ahead. Sometimes we want to get in a hurry. Sometimes we want to fix it. That's when I say things that I shouldn't say. That's when I make big mistakes. Just have to say something because I want to say something. You ever get to where you just, I want to fix it. I want to correct it. I want it to work out this way. And rather than patiently wait on the Lord, I just got to say something. And oh, what a mess it becomes. And sometimes it gets to be such a mess you can't really take it back. I want to do better. I want to wait on Him. Here was Philip, and he said, you go near and join thyself to this chariot. And then when Philip was told what to do, he ran. Philip ran. That's where we ought to be. When the Lord shows us what to do. When you don't know what to do, wait. But then when the Lord shows you what to do, don't wait. It's time then to go. He ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You see, Philip was a preacher of the gospel. And when that makes a preacher excited when he sees a brother reading the scripture, and he sees someone searching and looking and asking questions. It makes a minister of the gospel who's charged with feeding little lambs and feeding sheep. When you see a hungry little lamb and a hungry little sheep, you'll want to preach to them. Sometimes you'll talk to them longer than they want to listen. You can wear them out. Sometimes they'll ask a question and you go like, they almost like look at you like, finally, well, I wish I hadn't asked that much. You know, you give me a whole lot here. You know, you want them to see. You see, I want you to see this morning. I want you to see what a Savior you have in Jesus. I want you to see that when He died on the cross, He died for you. And I mean, if you're a little child of grace, that's the truth. He died for you. He didn't come just for everybody. He came to save His people from their sins. He gave His life for the sheep. He didn't give His life for the goats. He gave His life for the sheep. And there's out of all of the family of mankind, there's an innumerable company that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. And everyone, when He died on the cross, He died for them. And I want you to know that and feel that in your heart so that you're not trusting in what you're doing for Him, but you're trusting in what He's done for you, and you're resting in that and that alone. And I want you to go on your way rejoicing, understanding that my salvation is in Him and what He's done for me. So you're not afraid of living, and you're certainly not afraid of dying. Not because you've done it right, but because He's done it right. Glad to see some happy tears, sister. Thank the Lord for that. Anytime we see God's little children who feel it in their heart that the Lord did that for me, that it wasn't just for Philip, but it was for me. He died for me. It wasn't just for the eunuch. He died for me. He paid the sin debt for me. He came for me. And I want to live for Him because of what He did for me. That way I can be like little brother Phil, about to leave this world and be just as happy and just as at rest about it as little sister Robin was when she talked about it like, I'm just going to go like a trip to the mall just to leave this world. And I said to Brother John as we left Brother Phil's house, I said, I sure hope when my time comes to leave this world, I have that kind of peace. Brother John said, you will. When the time comes, you will. You know when you need dying grace? When you're dying. You know when you need living grace? When you're living. And you know what God will provide for us in every step of the way from right now until we leave this world? Grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment. Do we have a good God? I say we do. Is He worthy of my best and praise? I say He is. Should I take up my cross and follow Him in baptism as He's told me to do? Yes, I should. Why? Because I love Him because He first loved me. And that's what this is all about today. That's what it's all about. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, and our desire to take up our cross and show Him in gratitude and live our life in a way that brings honor and glory unto Him. Being baptized doesn't make you a little child of God. As a matter of fact, if you're not already a little child of God, when you go under the water, you won't be one when you come out. It's you know how a little child of God got to be a little child of God? According to the scripture, He was chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. How much did you and I have to do with that? Not a thing. And we were sinners. We were lost and undone when Jesus died. We were without help and without hope. And Jesus did that. When were we securely, legally saved? When Jesus died on the cross, He took our sins in His own body and there removed them from us. And that's where we were legally secure and legally saved when He paid the sin debt. We were justified, made just as if we had not sinned. And He took our sins off of us and gave us His righteousness. And that's the righteousness that will fit us for heaven in immortal glory. That's the reason. It isn't because you went in water baptism. And the reason that we'll be with Him in glory is because He went to the grave. He died for us. And He rose again for our justification. Which means it was the testimony that our justification has been accomplished. Jesus did the work. If He had not finished the work, He'd have never come out of the grave. But He did, didn't He? There's an empty tomb to prove that. And because of what He did, that's the reason we ought to be baptized. Not in order to get in that, but because of what He has done. And that gives an open testimony to anyone who would look at our life, that it would be a testimony and a confession that I believe in Him and I'm trusting in Him and I want to do the very best I can to live my life in a way to honor and glorify Him. That's what happened here on the road as they went along the way. And I got 1 minute to finish. That ain't going to happen. So let's look at it real quick. He says, and Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He's reading from Isaiah 53. And he said, how can I except some man God should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now listen, this is a brother asking a preacher to come sit with him. Do you think God had operated on this man? I do. I'll tell you what, a man that hasn't been operated on will want to do with the preacher, get as far away from him as he can. He doesn't want to hear what he's got to say and doesn't want to have what he's got to say. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This man desired to hear these things and to know about them, and the reason is the Lord had already operated on his heart. He was born of the Spirit of God. We're seeing the evidence of that. Listen, birth has to precede baptism. Birth has to precede believing. Believing has to precede baptism. Birth has to precede believing. Believing has to precede baptism. First of all, you got to be born again, made alive, and then you're already fit for heaven. But then you believe because once you hear the gospel, you get to see the gospel. The Lord allows your faith to embrace the gospel and believe the gospel. And there's a salvation in that. Well, it's a deliverance when you come to see Jesus die. You see, He died for me. Not just that He died for everybody in general, but He died for His people in particular. And for those that He died for, they're safe and secure in Him. And you can't add to that, nor can you take from it. But we can believe it, and as we believe it, we find peace in our heart and in our mind and in our conscience. And if we do believe it, we ought to take up our cross and follow Him in baptism, because He said, unto those who were pricked in the heart, He tells us that in Acts chapter 2. He said, and Peter said unto them, verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you. Which ones? Those that are pricked in the heart. Those that hear the gospel and believe it and understand it. He says then, if you believe it and you understand it, as we sang this morning, He said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That is in order to get your sins remitted. When did our sins get remitted? When Jesus died on the cross, our sins were remitted. They were removed from us as far as the east is from the west. That's what Isaiah 53 is all about, where the eunuch was reading. He says, for the remission of sins means because of the remission of sins. And He says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say you'll receive the Holy Ghost. They already had the Holy Ghost. But the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is joy and rest and peace, the fruit that comes as you follow Him in obedience. And I know I need to wrap this up. He says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shears. So opened he not his mouth, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? What he was telling us is from the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, exactly what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary when he suffered and he bled and died and paid our sin debt. Isaiah had prophesied of it. It had happened and taken place. And Philip is telling the eunuch that. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell how long Philip preached, but I got a feeling it was a pretty long sermon. You know why? Because he had to cover baptism. Otherwise, the eunuch would have never known anything about that. And in order to cover baptism, he had to cover birth. He had to cover believing. He had to cover what Jesus had done in Isaiah 53. How long could you preach from Isaiah 53? I say a lifetime of sermons have been preached on Isaiah 53, and the half is yet to be told. What Jesus really did for us when he died for us on the cross. I would have loved to have heard that wonderful sermon, but we've got the book that we can read over and over again of how great things the Lord has done for us. Philip opened his mouth. And began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Notice what Philip didn't do. He didn't say, well, I didn't really plan that sermon for today. Let me talk about the one I've got planned and then I'll give you that. No, he used what the Lord provided, and that's what ministers are to do today. They're to use what the Lord provides. We're not to set it up, plan it up, prop it up, fix it up, patch it up, or any of those things. We're to trust the Lord and study the Word to show ourselves approved, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, but we're to come with what God lays on our hearts, not trying to figure it out on our own. And that's surely taught here. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. So where did Philip get his text from? He got it from the eunuch. Where did the eunuch get his text from? He got it from the Lord. You think it was just happenstance he's reading Isaiah 53? You think it's just happenstance he's on the road where Philip is being sent? It's just happenstance Philip runs into him? No, all of this was coordinated by the hand of God. I say that this little sister coming to this church was coordinated by the hand of God. I believe the Lord led her here. Don't y'all? I do. I believe the Lord led you here. I believe He's working. I know He is. I know there's sometimes I don't think that, but I'm wrong when I'm like that, and I need some correcting. I need to be reminded. God moves in mysterious ways in our lives over and over again. It's not just happenstance. Brethren, that's why it's so important we listen when he says, get up and go. It's time to get up and go. All right. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. Wonder how that got there in the desert. I believe the Lord provided that. How much water? What did it look like? Did it matter? No. You know what mattered? That you had enough water to immerse. Because that's what the picture is. It didn't matter whether it was, I love a very scenic place. I love the riverside. I love to be there. I love all those kinds of things. But I'm telling you, I felt the Lord at a baptistry. I felt the Lord at a swimming pool. I felt the Lord at any place there was a sufficient amount of water to immerse. It is not about the outward scene. It's about what's going on in the hearts of the Lord's people as they meet and worship God. It's the picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the desire of the believer to follow the Lord, walking in newness of life, and living their life in a way to honor God, and also a picture of what's going to happen at the resurrection, when one day we're going to come out in our bodies, glorified and fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism is all about. It's not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. May the Lord give us that. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, what was the qualification? Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He had to first be a believer. In other words, you can't baptize someone if they're not a believer. And before they're a believer, they got to first be born. You got to be born before you can believe. And then you have to believe before you can be baptized. But if you've been born and you believe, you ought to be baptized. Does that make sense? That's what the scripture teaches. And he says, and he answered and said, I believe, listen to what he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, I wonder what the sermon taught. I believe the Lord allowed him to see it. The Lord opened his eyes. The Lord opened his ears and he allowed him to see it. And then from his heart, by the faith God had given him, which is the gift of God, he said, I believe with the mouth. He confessed That didn't get him to heaven, but he gave him peace and rest and salvation here in time in delivering him. He says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still immediately. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He didn't sprinkle him. He baptized him. He immersed him. The mode is immersion. The administrator was the God-appointed minister of the gospel that the Lord had qualified and had been set apart for that task, chosen of God and ordained to do it. And the baptism was done orderly, and it was done to a believer by the direction of Almighty God. He baptized him, that is, he immersed him, picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also his desire to walk in newness of life. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That sounds like a happy preacher, doesn't it? The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more. And I always like to think about this. The eunuch didn't run around and say, "Where's my preacher? Where's my preacher?" It wasn't about the preacher. It was about the Lord. You know, the Lord uses tools. The Lord uses means at times in His timely deliverance of His people. But the honor and the glory always belongs to the Lord. It wasn't about Philip. Philip was blessed. He went on his way rejoicing, and immediately the eunuch saw him no more. Now, whether he just vanished and the Lord took him away immediately, or whether he just was so elated, and you know, I've been like that. You know, people leave, and I don't even know they left because I'm so excited about what the Lord has done, and I feel His presence. And when we get like that, you know, well, like Brother Stan said the other day in his preaching, he said, "You're full of tears, and you're full of rejoicing, and you can't." You can't tell that you got happy tears, you're crying, and then you're laughing and you're rejoicing, and what a great feeling it is. And you get so caught away, somebody might leave, you don't even know they go. And then the Lord just could have carried him away. You know what God can do? Whatever He pleases. And He does whatsoever He pleases. Our God's in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He has pleased. And He says, and He went on His way, but He didn't go on His way just no way. He went rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Can you imagine that Ethiopian and his comments, telling everyone what had happened to him on the way to Jerusalem? Oh, somebody asked how your trip was. Oh, can you imagine him telling them about the wonderful things the Lord had allowed him to see? And then Philip went on his way preaching the gospel and what the Lord had done. Brethren, this seems like such a wonderful event. But I believe we have them just today, just as meaningful, just as important, just as real. And I pray that God will grant us the faith to see that. Even as we go into this baptism service this afternoon, may the Lord bless us, supply what we need, that we might see Him and Him lifted up, that we give Him the glory and the honor and the praise. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.
$2.42.